Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 226 of Beyond the Supernatural, which is a role-playing game about mysteries. But typically, we talk about mysteries, we talk around mysteries, we talk about all the different character classes and psionic abilities and all the skills and everything you need to solve mysteries, but we don't really solve mysteries on the podcast. But we have to take a crack at this one because it is so central to everything we've done to this point. As you'll know, if you've been listening to this season all the way from the beginning, this whole book, really, at its heart, is not so much a role-playing game as a great, noble monument to the man, the legend, Victor Laszlo. Beloved by everyone. Patron of the arts, humanitarian, scholar, friend to all the world's children, like Gamera. Victor Laszlo, he's an icon. Sadly, though, his iconhood came to a suitably mysterious end when he vanished in 1984, leaving behind very little but his best friend Robert Mock, his millions of dollars that he left to Robert Mock, and a name that had some unclear degree of fame and went on to inspire the Laszlo Agency and the confusingly similarly named Laszlo Society. So what happened to Victor Laszlo? What is it that could possibly end this brilliant career? Victor Laszlo, keep in mind, he wasn't just a great parapsychologist. He was a force of nature. I mean, we've talked in the last couple of days. He assembled the Laszlo Agency, the core of it, tens of thousands of people, just by being a cool dude on a global scale, helping people out with their ghosts, studying people's magic powers, getting involved in all kinds of paranormal phenomena, lending out parapsychology equipment, making connections, networking. A huge strength of Victor Laszlo, but also his great prescience, his amazing insight into both paranormal activity, but also human nature. This man, he had it all. I mean, what did it say in the beginning of the book? That he was like a combination of Jesus, Gandhi, Huckleberry Finn, and Albert Einstein. There might have even been one more. Victor Laszlo has it all. So what took him out? I think the answer to this has to involve Victor Laszlo himself. And that's why, as distasteful as it may be, we must have the courage to ask, was Victor Laszlo dumb? Because that's the direction that this evidence is pointing. I know, it's shocking, but hear me out. We have to start back on page 225. Most of that page is taken up by an almost prophetic excerpt from one of Victor Laszlo's works, which was published posthumously and was entitled, quote, The Final Words of Victor Laszlo. Sometimes somebody will get just one word, like Rosebud. Other times, you know, either these drapes go or I do, right? A bon mot, just a little phrase sometimes people will get. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Victor Laszlo, his final words were an entire posthumously published book. Classic Laszlo. I'm not going to read you this entire thing, but what's important to note is that Victor Laszlo, I don't want to say he knew he was going to vanish exactly, but he knew something was coming, and I think he knew it was in the ballpark of vanishing. This little excerpt starts, we've actually read it before on the podcast, with a condemnation of, quote, modern man. What a proud peacock, so smug in his high-tech world, safely nestled behind the sturdy walls of science. How we mock and sneer at the so-called primitive man with his simple ways and foolish superstitions. This motherfucker can sneer at you about your sneering problem. That's how smug Victor Laszlo is. He's operating on a higher level. But we've heard this before, right? He's complaining about people, as Victor Laszlo often does, and understandably so. It's the burden of genius. We must all seem like children to him, right? But typically, you know, he remains in good spirits. Here, in one of his final written works, it's a little more touch and go. He knows something is coming. He feels a little bit more of a time crunch than usual. Because once he has told us yet again about how the supernatural is totally real, but no one believes in it because they are sheeple, He notices, again in a very meta way, that he's been down this road before. He writes, quote, "It seems I have written these words to this effect 1,000 times, and a sense of futility begins to weigh heavy on my bones. I have given countless lectures and presented what I felt was conclusive evidence, but I seem to be waging an endless campaign against a willful ignorance." He feels like, you know, no matter how many times I write the very same thing, nothing happens for me. It would be the same as if you ran a role-playing game company and you continued to print and reprint the same material year after year, and yet year after year, nobody produced a Rifts live-action film and you never became a Hollywood millionaire. It's that level of frustration that Victor Laszlo is dealing with, and it makes him angry. Don't take my word for it. From the man himself, quote, "It makes me so angry, not that they besmirch my reputation, but that civilized man can be so blind and arrogant. How can I make people believe me? I have seen horrific creatures and fought monsters that I dare not write about in published venues, for fear of convincing everyone I am, indeed, insane. Yet I bear their scars, and I could call upon 1,000 eyewitnesses." No joke. He knows 1,000 eyewitnesses. He knows tens of thousands of eyewitnesses. He couldn't make any headway. He couldn't get people to listen. And he knew that his time was running out. Quote, "I listened to myself," as of course, who else would Victor Laszlo listen to? There's barely enough time for him to read all the books he wrote. Anyway, "I listen to myself and wonder, what will become of me and those handful of others who have unearthed some of the lost secrets and so oppose these otherworldly invaders? Are we a threat or an occasional nuisance? Do we really make a difference? And if we do, and our numbers grow and our voices begin to reach the masses, what then? Will any one of those demonic obscenities take notice and try to destroy us? I don't know why, but that question has preyed on my mind a great deal lately. Perhaps it is just old age creeping up on me, slowing me down, making me paranoid. Still, I'd feel more secure if there were more of us. Otherwise, we'd be so easy to hunt down, one by one, and be terminated. I fear few would even notice our disappearance. In fact, if I disappeared tomorrow, in fact, if I were to vanish in 1984, he didn't say that. If you're wondering how prophetic he is, just under that amount of prophetic. What he says is, in fact, if I disappeared tomorrow, I doubt there are many people who would notice my passing, and I'm certain there would be a large number who would be happy my voice was silenced. Of course, here Victor Laszlo was wrong. Everyone loves his beautiful voice. But he's right about most things. He's right about just about everything else, including the fact that he was soon to disappear. And this put his research, it put his whole life's work in great peril. Here he'd been banging against this wall for years and years, doing his best, providing what he thought was incontrovertible evidence, never quite proving his case, but becoming the foundation of a whole new way of thinking about the paranormal along the way. What if he were to disappear? He understandably contemplated. So that's 3 months before his disappearance. But it is not the last writing of Victor Laszlo's that we have. A lot happens to Victor Laszlo right before his disappearance. Quote, "Laszlo carried his crusade to the public, where he became a popular cult hero among the science fiction and New Age audience. However, he soon broke into the mainstream market with his famous book, Worlds Within Worlds, which dominated the bestsellers list for a year, and the number one spot for 13 weeks. Three subsequent best-selling books had made Laszlo the Carl Sagan of the paranormal. His career as a popular author rocketing to new heights, and with contracts signed for a PBS television series, Laszlo vanished." So, I hate to keep harping on this, but when we're calculating Laszlo's level of fame, we must now take into consideration that he was a multiple-time best-selling author. He had the number one book for 13 weeks. He had already signed a deal to be a PBS host on a show about the supernatural. He was like as famous as Carl Sagan. Not only does this strongly call into question the narrative that when he vanished, people were like, Victor Laszlo who? But more pertinently to today's topic, the mystery at hand, Laszlo was really on the cusp of cracking into a mainstream audience. Oh, sure, he already had a best-selling book, but it was 1984. The book was already a dying medium. Television is where it was at in the 80s, and he was about to get a television program. He could have shown people video of the things that he had seen. He could have produced actual footage of the supernatural for a mainstream national audience in the United States. And that is what makes his actions on the winter solstice in 1984 so mysterious. That is what forces me to ask the question, was Victor Laszlo dumb? On the eve of the winter solstice in 1984, Victor Laszlo was on his way with an assistant, Mr. Kishwar, who was sort of a psychic-sensitive protege of his. They were on their way to go see a buddy of Victor Laszlo's. I guess their car needed a fuel pump replaced or something like that. In any case, Victor Laszlo decided to stay at Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio, instead of going into town with his assistant. Serpent Mound is a notable place of psychic power, and Victor Laszlo decided to camp there alone. He took only his equipment. It says here, quote, armed with a sleeping bag, lantern, canteen, camera, folding chair, his, quote, bag, and bag is in quotation marks, and diary, Laszlo settled in for his overnight stay. Already, this is a very dubious choice from the man who literally wrote the book, in fact, multiple books, about ley lines, but we also have Laszlo's diary entry from that day, and it further details his situation. Quote, it is an unseasonably warm afternoon for an Ohio December. There's no snow on the ground, and a gentle breeze that must be the last warm fingers of autumn stirs the air. I'm drawn again to the Serpent Mound. All my usual questions and speculations are doing a warpath in my head. I don't know why I find this place so alluring. I guess for me it's the North American Stonehenge. Jawaharlal, that's his assistant, has warned me that he feels restless spirits afoot. I hope so. I'd like to experience something extraordinary at my favorite megalithic site and consult with a shaman from an ancient time. But I don't feel a thing. Jay has learned to master his psychic-sensitive abilities quite well over the past few months. I only wish he'd master the English language so quickly. Ha! Just to be perfectly clear, that is Victor Laszlo's ha. Just a little private dig at his protege's English in his diary. One more classy move from a true class act, Victor Laszlo. Quote, this time, however, I think it's his paternal instincts coming forth and not psychic intuitions. It's getting dark, and I still have to light my lantern and set up camp before I can continue my musings. More later. And that's it. That's all we have. What this reveals to us is that Victor Laszlo was warned. He had an apprentice. That apprentice was mastering psychic-sensitive powers. Laszlo believed in those powers. That apprentice said, hey, don't stay here. There are restless spirits. Victor Laszlo said, hey, great, I'd love to meet some restless spirits here at what I know to be an extremely potent site of PPE. It's like the North American Stonehenge. Let me not just sleep here, but sleep here alone on the eve of the solstice in hopes that something spooky happens. And something spooky sure did happen. As you know, if you've read Rift's Africa, which I'm not condoning, Victor Laszlo does get sucked into a rift and end up in the world of rifts because he tempted fate. You go camping at the, quote, North American Stonehenge on the eve of the solstice. Yeah, like, of course, you might as well pitch your tent directly in the fucking TARDIS. And you could forgive a casual tourist for not understanding this, but we're talking about Victor Laszlo on his own. Just based on his own experience and theorizing and all that, he should have known this was a bad idea. But he even had an actual psychic with him to say, no, stop. These powers you know I have and that you trained me to use are telling me this is not safe. And Laszlo went ahead and did it anyway. And he even thought about it again while he was writing his diary entry, and he decided to stay through that, and sure enough, he fucking vanished. Why? Why and how did this happen? Is Victor Laszlo dumb? No. No, it can't be. I'm willing to entertain the question, but I don't think that dumbness can be the answer here, for once. Victor Laszlo is the greatest man I've ever known. Just to put it simply, just to put it out there, put it on the table. Victor Laszlo probably is the greatest human being I'm aware of, real or fictional. Ever since I was a little boy in Sunday school, hearing about the tales of Jesus' miracles and compassion and plan for humanity, and I thought, sounds nice, but I wish you were more like Huck Finn. Victor Laszlo is the man I've been looking for. He's the only one who can fill that hole in my heart. Victor Laszlo is no dummy. On the contrary, I think Victor Laszlo had this whole fucking situation figured out. So who or what pushed Victor Laszlo into that rift? Nobody. Nobody did. Victor Laszlo jumped. All the clues are there. Not just the fact that he went camping at Serpent Mound, which is like jumping up and down on the rotten floorboards of this dimension. Not just the fact even that he was warned and that he persisted, but the fact that he took his quote-unquote bag. What bag? He wasn't expecting this, supposedly. His fuel pump went out. Why was Victor Laszlo packed? Why did he have a bag ready? He was supposed to meet up with his assistant again right after his assistant went into town for the fuel pump. What did he need this bag for, in addition to all his regular supplies? And if you read the excerpt from before, Victor Laszlo was frustrated. He had just gone through a lifetime of finding top-notch evidence of the supernatural and being disbelieved. Here's what I think. I think that Victor Laszlo's insight was so great that he bumped up against the meta limitations of the Beyond the Supernatural setting. I think he realized the Just for Kicks masquerade can't be beaten. This world, this setting, can never be changed in the way I'm trying to change it. They'll never believe me. It doesn't matter what I do or what evidence I produce. The status quo here is immutable. These people will never believe in the supernatural. And that's my life's goal, which means I'm done here. Victor Laszlo graduated from Beyond the Supernatural. He had, alone among us, the dignity of reaching the natural end of a non-Rifts Palladium setting and then sailing out into that sea and finding the hatch out like the end of the Truman Show, spoilers for the Truman Show, and saying, hey, GM, here I am. I've achieved sentience within the game. I realize that I've done all there is to do in this C-tier Palladium role-playing line. I'm ready to go to Rifts. Take me away. Whisk me away to the land of the Splugworth and the Coalition. There's nothing left for me now in a world without mega damage armor. I'm ready. Let me move beyond the supernatural. I believe those were Victor Laszlo's last words on this plane of existence. I think, in a very subtle and clever move, kudos to the creative genius of Kevin Zambita for embedding this little Easter egg in the Beyond the Supernatural line. I believe the title is a reference to the last words Victor Laszlo said. After a life of paranormal investigation, stymied by the Just for Kicks masquerade, I believe he was lying there at Serpent Mound, and he saw that big, beautiful, bright blue rift open up at the Nexus Point on the winter solstice, and he knew his plan had fucking come together. And he grabbed his quote bag full of various supplies he would need in whatever world would now be his home. And I believe he walked into that light, and he said, after a lifetime of first seeking the supernatural, and then discovering the supernatural, and then trying in vain to struggle against the supernatural, at last, I'm ready to go beyond the supernatural. And then he fucking vanished, off to new adventures that would never be resolved for this, his loving audience in this series, like Sam Beckett in the finale of Quantum Leap. Spoilers for Quantum Leap. Victor Laszlo was not dumb. Victor Laszlo was the wisest of us all. He knew that going on to get that series on PBS, achieving that level of notoriety, it could only end in his death, because where else could things go? If this world can't change, at some point, the irresistible force, that is me, the highly esteemed Victor Laszlo, has to meet the immovable object that is this world's outrageously implausible refusal to believe in demons. If I've got a show, like on TV, a national TV show, where I broadcast incontrovertible proof of demons, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to involve me getting killed by demons for sure. Because you know what can never happen here? One iota of change. So he took the gentleman's way out, he packed his bag, and he said, I'm ready, take me to Rifts. And so it was. I believe that is the solution to this mystery. So Victor Laszlo is not the dumbest thing on this page. The dumbest thing on this page, I submit, is a world that chased Victor Laszlo away. By all rights, with everything he's accomplished, the kind of amazing person that we know him to have been, Laszlo should have changed the world. He did everything. He gathered the evidence. He fought the monsters. He built the network. He cracked the mainstream. He was an academic. He was famous. He was the center of a web of witnesses and believers and professionals. He did everything you can do. He should have changed this world already. And this world's refusal to change in the face of all that, that's what's dumb. And that's why he had to leave. This world was too dumb for Victor Laszlo. He had to go to Rifts. So good luck, buddy. In some ways, it is a triumphant fate for Victor Laszlo. In other ways, a sad fate. But in any case, it is final. We are now done with Victor Laszlo. The mystery is solved, and it's time to move on. Our leader, our captain, our idol is gone. It's just us against the monsters now. Join me next time as the monsters section begins on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.